Auburn's still right in the middle of the battle for Juju Lewis, but how much longer can you wait?
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up? We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're getting ready to rock and roll on this Tuesday. Talk a little bit of Juju Lewis. How much longer do we have? How much longer does Hugh have to sort of keep pushing this battle, even though you sit really good in the competition for his services? And is Auburn, you know, the perception is Auburn losing a little bit of momentum on the trail? We're going to talk about all that. But before we get started, you know, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results powered by Active Wealth. You know Ford has a plan. Ford understands that there needs to be a sense of urgency on making sure that your plan for retirement is up to snuff, is going to get you where you need to be. You can check out Ford at retirementresults.com/plan. Or you can scan this code on the screen and you can reach out and get in touch with him and get a custom portfolio analysis for absolutely no cost. They'll even run a simulation on your retirement all the way to your age 95 to make sure you can cover all those gaps. Your money's going to be there when you need it most. Great guy, Auburn fan. Make a friend at the same time. Who's better to trust with your money than another fellow Auburn guy? Tell him War Eagle and tell him I sent you. Ford Stokes, retirement results. You can even catch his television shows that he uploads at that website as well. So big things going. Check out Ford. All right, so we're right at the end of June. You're in a dead period, okay? So there's no face-to-face contact with recruits. There's still tons of phone calls, tons of text messages going out between coaches and players. But Auburn still does not have a quarterback on the board. You still don't have a quarterback commit on the board. And, yeah, it's funny because yesterday we were talking about the patience of Hugh Freeze and how much that paid off in Alvin Henderson and then several other recruitments. You can go back to Cam Coleman. The patience, being relentless. But with quarterbacks, patience is great, but at some point in time, you need to have one on board, and you need to have one on board early, because quarterbacks go ahead and get locked in. And sometimes you don't see a ton of flips of quarterbacks late. You may see some early, but late in the game, you typically, those guys are locked in, they're building the class. So it's getting close to the point of time where you got to basically say, we need it now, or we're going to have to move on. And I think you have until about maybe the end of this. So at the end of July, there's a 5 or 6 day window that opens up where kids have visits. That's how you have Big Cat Weekend. So if you can get him in and get his dad in, and you can nail something down the first part of that period, and then say, okay, we're good to go. Come back for Big Cat Weekend, or it's just not going to work out. I think that's probably the jumping off point. We probably have a little bit of about a month of sort of sitting around, sort of twiddling our thumbs, being patient and waiting. I think it's worth it to at least go that far, because at least right now, they can't go anywhere else. They can't go visit anywhere else. So there's not really a threat at the moment that they could go visit somewhere and commit somewhere else or flip somewhere else. All the visits are done. So now it's just about phone calls, relationships and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, by the end of July, you really need to have an idea of what we're going to do moving forward with Juju. I mean, I looked at the commit list of quarterbacks in this class. 48 out of the top 50 quarterbacks are committed. 12 out of the 14 SEC schools have their commitments. Kentucky has two quarterback commitments. coincidentally, what's funny is two, you know, sort of self-proclaimed quarterback guys, Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze, are without a quarterback commit at the moment. So that just goes to show you the priority of getting a guy in early. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's hard to flip a quarterback late. It's super duper hard to flip a quarterback late. And even Juju said, hey, I'm shutting her down before the season starts. Okay, I'm shutting it down before my high school season starts. I don't know that we have really that long because, again, you have that 5 or 6 day window. And then shortly, I mean, then you're in going into August. Well, these kids have already, a lot of times, have already started their fall camp. You know, school starts a lot of times mid August, and you have a couple of practices, a couple of weeks of practices before that, because typically your, you know, first couple of weeks you may have a jamboree, and then your season kicks off towards the end of August. So there's just not a lot of time that you can make up a lot of ground, except for that last little 5 or 6 day window at the end of July. And that's also the last time that the coaching staff is going to have the freedom to really focus 100% on landing dudes, landing recruits, because shortly after that, Auburn's fall camp starts, then you're in season mode. So then you're recruiting regardless will have to drop down a notch as far as the intensity level goes, because you got a game plan, you got a coach, you got to go win football games. All the work you've done in the off season, hopefully you're somewhere around the 20 commit range, and you can kind of not necessarily coast, but then you just have you don't have as much resources that you have to dedicate to finish off the class because it's football season. I mean, it's crazy. It's literally creeping up on us, you know, inch by inch, day by day. So that last little window is extremely important. So what I think's gonna, if I had to guess right now, what I think's gonna happen is if Juju is the guy, I think something's going to happen either on Big Cat Weekend or right around Big Cat Weekend, and if not, I think you pivot quickly to KJ Lacy, who would be an awesome consolation prize. I know people say, well, he's committed to Texas. That's another great, you know, that's another great quarterback guy. I just think this kid wants to be at Auburn. And if you got him sort of in your hand, if you can go ahead and lock him up, and you get that final word from the Juju side, from the Julian Lewis side, go ahead and pivot and make a big deal out of it, pump it up on Big Cat Weekend, and with all the festivities and sort of the hype that's going to be built around that weekend. So I think that's probably about the jumping off. I really don't think you can go into the season and not have a quarterback. You got to take – I know people think – oh, we have Hank Brown. Oh, we have Walker White. We need to trust who we have. But this is recruiting. Like, because you bring in another quarterback after you brought in a quarterback the year prior, that does not mean you do not believe in Walker White. That does not mean you don't believe in Hank Brown. It just means you have to take a quarterback every year. You have to try to get the best quarterback you can get every single year. When you have the portal, when you have injuries, when you have busts, you have kids that just you think they're going to be good and they're just not. You gotta have dudes. I mean, I know you can just dip into the portal, but typically those are Band-Aids. And as you see, a lot of times they're hit or miss. And more times miss than they are hit. I can name a thousand where it's like, was it really worth, you know, spending all that money on a big time quarterback, and what did it yield you? So just because there's sort of a sense of urgency on getting a kid like Juju and all the fanfare and all of the, you know, possibly ancillary commits and dudes that would love to come to Auburn to play with Juju, he's worth waiting on just a little bit longer. He's worth pushing for just a little bit longer. But at every point in time, in every recruitment, there has to be a line drawn in the sand, and there has to be a jumping off point. I just happen to think that once it gets past Big Cat Weekend, we got to have an idea one way or the other which way we're going. And I wouldn't be surprised if Julian and his dad weren't here within a day or two, 24 to 48 hours of that visit period opening back up. I think it opens back up on the 25th. Would not be shocked if he's there on the 25th or the 26th, just kind of trying to put some finishing touches on some things. And then who knows if you could possibly get some kind of indication. He were to say, I'm coming to Big Cat Weekend, I would say that's something to keep your eyes on. And then he could be the kind of guy that he doesn't need to come to Big Cat Weekend and he can just do his own type of announcement. But either way, I think you're going to have some sort of movement by a cutoff date is going to have to be by Big Cat Weekend. Again, I just don't think you can go much further without a quarterback. KJ Lacy would be a phenomenal addition, a phenomenal consolation prize. That's another kid that is a high four-star kid, already committed to Texas. So you know Sark has an affinity for him. You know Sark has an affinity for quarterbacks and being able to pick out quarterback talent. He's a little bit smaller guy, but smaller guys have had a lot of success. And I watched his highlight film yesterday, and I expected to just see him throwing to Ryan Williams the whole time. But no, he spreads the ball out, got a good arm for his size. I think he had a pretty good showing at the Elite 11 or some of the different camps that he does. And I think if you get the signal from Juju that the Auburn thing's not going to happen, I think we'd be very, very happy adding a kid like KJ Lacy. And I think he also brings some fanfare, and he could help pull in some kids as well, because he's very popular among other recruits. So patience is great in recruiting, but with quarterbacks, I think that time window is sort of dwindling down. So I still feel good about Juju. I still feel good about where we sit. I still feel good about my prediction. I just don't buy the Colorado stuff. I think they're smarter than that. I think they understand what's on the table. I totally get if they were to stick with USC. I mean, geez, who can argue with Lincoln Riley? I mean, other than wins on the field, the quarterback play is unmatched. He's just a quarterback guy. Now, they may struggle on defense. They may lose a lot of games they shouldn't lose, but nobody ever questions the skill of their quarterback, because Lincoln Riley is just a dude when it comes to calling plays, when it comes to developing quarterbacks. So I totally get that, but I also think the situation at Auburn is also very, very competitive. From we've talked about it from an NIL perspective. I think we're top dog. I think we're top dog in this race from an NIL perspective, not fake pie in the sky dreams and wishes that Colorado's selling. We're talking actual dollars on paper. I think Auburn is the best NIL situation. Best. You got a lot of young talent that surrounds him. I think it's a really good situation. I could see it going either way, but I think you got a little bit longer that you want to push, and then definitely you got to pivot. You got to pivot after that. So let's see what happens with Juju. It's going to be a long month, a lot of nail biting. So, but it should be a fun ride. All right, is Auburn losing some momentum? I've seen this on boards. I've seen this in comments. I've seen this on Twitter. Is Auburn losing some momentum in recruiting? So Auburn goes on a run of five or six commits over the span of two and a half weeks. You just land one of the top running backs on your board on Friday, but come Monday, people are nervous. Zion Grady commits to Ohio State. You get a Fong bomb for Caleb Cunningham to Alabama. You get a commitment delay from Herbert Scroggins, who you felt like was a lock. And then people start freaking out. Is Auburn losing momentum on the trail? And it's on one hand, it's funny on one hand, but on the other hand, it feels good to know that people are starting to care again about recruiting. But I still think people put Auburn fans in general, we put way too much value on what Alabama does over what Auburn does. It's way so if Alabama does something good, it automatically equals bad for Auburn. And I think you sometimes we can't even appreciate what we have because we're so entrenched or so obsessed with what they do. And it's sometimes it's really, really, it's really frustrating. I mean, right now you look at the past several seasons that you have right now, you're sitting at like the number three or number four class in the SEC. And if you can be a top three or four class in the SEC every single year, you're going to be very competitive. And you feel like, you know, at least with Hugh Freeze, when he's locked in and calling plays, you feel like you have the edge. At time, you feel like you have the edge a little bit. From a coaching standpoint. So, no, I mean, the losing momentum thing, all that's really changed is Herbert Scroggins delayed his announcement. That's all that's really happened. Predictions are great. You know, predictions, I get it. A lot of times they're sort of smoke in the air, but they're not, if they don't end in commitments and it's not signing day, especially for wide receivers, I mean, they flip all the time. Wide receivers flip all the time. So, to have predictions on dudes, that doesn't mean a ton. That doesn't mean a ton. Yeah, they may get committed, but there's still tons of guys that Auburn's talking to that are committed elsewhere. There's guys that Auburn flipped all the way up close to signing day last year. So it doesn't really mean a ton. The only thing that's really changed is Herbert Scroggins' commitment, which I still feel like Auburn's going to get. I still feel like Auburn's going to get. Again, it may just be a little bit later, but – I still feel like he's Auburn's to lose at this point in time. I think Auburn still has the lead. So next week, nothing's really changed. You still got your big stuff planned. There's still some big announcements coming around the 4th of July. Still dudes that you feel really good about from the 25 and the 2026 class. I don't really know that Auburn's lost any momentum. I don't really know that Auburn has. Much from a timeline perspective has changed at all, minus Herbert Scroggins. And I totally understand where he was coming from, going on a visit, having that visit high, and then, hey, maybe I just want to wait and really think about this for another week or so, you know, before I go ahead and pull the trigger because I did just have a great visit. But at the end of the day, I still think he's in his class. It's the Zion Grady thing. I know that I put him in my predicted class. I talked heavily on the edge – the buck position, talked about where Auburn sits, feels about Jared Smith, feels about Herbert Scroggins, feels about Zion Grady. I think if it was a perfect world, they would take all three. They would take all three, but you can't go out and spend on all three from an NIL perspective. So you can't just go out and say, I'm going to pay top dollar for three edges. You can't do that. Especially when you're going to have numbers, you're going to have a number crunch in this class anyway. You're going to be touching, you could possibly be touching that 30 number anyway. So you had to prioritize. And I honestly believe, now granted, I do think if Zion Grady would have called Auburn on Monday and said, hey, I want to commit to Auburn, they would have 1,000% taken his commitment. But I don't think they were willing to go toe-to-toe with Ohio State from an NIL perspective yet. Now, down the road, if things don't work out with Jared Smith, if things don't work out with Herbert Scroggins, you could see that change. But at the moment, I don't think Zion Grady, from the intel that I've gathered, the intel that you can read from the different message boards, I don't think he was quite there. I don't think he was quite there as far as a top priority, okay? Now, could that change down the road? It very well could. If things don't work out with Herbert Scroggins, which I'd be shocked. If things don't work out with Jared Smith, you know, I would be, again, that's another one that I'd be shocked about. That's another guy who, you know, you could possibly watch, put on, you know, see if he could possibly pull the trigger here in the near future. But, again, a lot of things that happened, but nothing that really changed the timeline of what's going down with Auburn. I still feel like Auburn leads with pretty much everybody that we talked about that they lead for. So I don't really understand. I think it's mostly PTSD and just nervousness when you watch Alabama have a big recruiting weekend and you get a commitment from another kid that Auburn was not really going to push for, Micah DeBose, he's going to be an interior offensive lineman that wants offensive tackle money. And that's just not what Auburn's looking for right now. So you see that happen and you the hoopla about it and Auburn didn't have a recruiting weekend. I think people, you got to be able to just look at what's going on at Auburn. If Auburn gets their guys, if Auburn can be a top five, 4-6 class, you're going to be a good football team. You're going to be a good, really, really good football team. So worry about what's going on at Auburn. Auburn's got to get their dudes. Okay. Auburn's got to get their dudes, and there's still some really good dudes lined up over the next couple of weeks that I think are going to really, really excite people as far as commitments go. So let's chill a little bit. I don't feel like Auburn's – I don't think anything's changed as far as the plans for Auburn. You just got a commitment date pushback. That's pretty much it. So you've got everybody that you've really wanted so far, and you're still pushing for dudes, and we're going to have a bunch of stuff leading up to Big Cat Weekend. Big Cat Weekend will answer a lot of questions. Who shows up? What goes down at Big Cat Weekend? That will answer a lot of questions as far as where Auburn really stands with a lot of guys. So I expect to hear new names added. I expect to hear some, you know, secret names being worked behind the scenes to try to show up, and we'll see what happens with those. But y'all just kind of sit back and relax and have some fun and enjoy the recruiting process so far. It's going to slow down a little bit heading back to that open day in July. So I really appreciate you guys listening. That's going to be all for today. We're going to jump back on it again tomorrow, see what happens, and maybe talk a little bit of 2026. I think this 2026 class could be fun and start popping off here too. So we'll dive in there. But I really appreciate it. Like this video, subscribe to this channel, get in the comments, and let's get after it. Let's mix it up. Let's talk about it. You think I'm crazy for thinking the momentum hadn't slowed down? Tell me about it. Tell me about it. If you think we should go ahead and move on from Juju, tell me about it. We'll talk about it. I don't think Auburn's not going to get a quarterback in this class. We just may have to wait. But if you think the sense of urgency needs to be ratcheted up even higher, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. I really appreciate you guys, the listens, the comments, all that makes this fun. And we'll get back after it tomorrow. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.